Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness, good Saturday morning to you guys. I am back home in Philadelphia. Thank you for tuning in to Hand and Footprints, What is Your Legacy? I am your host, a little bit of jet lag, Ricky Jones, but I am here, California. Thank you so very much. You have been absolutely wonderful. For those of you who missed out, I was on vacation this week, well-deserved, well-rested. My little big guy, even though he doesn't want me to call him that anymore, turned 10 on Monday, so we surprised him with a big trip to Disneyland and Legoland, so we had a ball. So that's why you guys didn't hear me on the air Wednesday night. But I'm so glad you guys are here today. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be right here with me, and I truly, truly appreciate it. This is the 101st episode. Yay! We had an awesome 100th episode last Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. We are doing the entire series called Legacy Builders. Oh, my gosh. I mean, talking to great people. All of the guests I've had on have been fantastic, but this particular month, we're really talking to people who are truly living and breathing and truly doing their legacy building. And today is like no other. So, of course, you guys, I want to remind you to call in 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. If you have a question for our guest today, make sure that you press the number 1 and we'll get you right on in. If you're not listening via the phone, make sure that you're online with us, either through Blog Talk Radio or through the Hand and Footprints page on Facebook. Make sure that you shoot us a couple of your messages, and we'll be glad to get that on and talk about legacy building. Like I said, it's so exciting. I'm so glad to be here. So glad that you guys are here celebrating. We're pushing on. Before you know it, we're going to be at our 200th show, and I tell you, I'm just so super excited that you guys could be here with me. But let's get right on into it. So, today's legacy builder, awesome guy. And if you get a chance, when you go to the website and you go to the different places, he's going to tell you to, you know, to follow him and follow the organization. Just awesome. Yet you ever notice gentlemen who just take the stage or they just have a nice, warming, calming presence and how they present themselves, you believe in exactly what their passion and what they're doing. This gentleman that we have on today is the same way. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Mario. So Mario Fedelin served as an AmeriCorps member with City Year San Jose Silicon Valley from 2003 to 2004. Then he continued on as program manager with City Year in the greater Philadelphia area. So, you know, how awesome is that he was here in the great city of brotherly love. But anyway, so in Philadelphia, he worked at City Year's National Network to create a high school civic leadership program that united diverse groups of high school students to explore and serve their community. In 07, Mario moved to Los Angeles to be a founding staff member of City Year's Los Angeles division. As a program director with City Year LA, Mario worked with his high-need schools in Boyle Heights and Watts, providing an outcome-based service model that deploys diverse teams of full-time core members in grades 3 to 9 to help improve student attendance, behavior, and course performance. Three key factors proven to increase the urban high school graduation pipeline. And we all know it is so important to get in early and to get them young and to get them motivated. Mario serves as an advisory board member of the Red Shield Community Center in Pico Union. He is a graduate of SCLNS's Leadership LA and was recently awarded the Comcast NBC Universal City Year Alumni Leadership Award. So now that's about Mario. Let me tell you about the great organization that he's involved with called Big Citizen Hub. The mission of Big Citizen Hub is to build a community of big citizens, expanding the social capital of youth through curiosity, gratitude, team, and adventure. Big Citizen Hub is a Saturday youth leadership development and skills building program that runs from January through July, uniting young people from all over the Los Angeles area. It's a little league for a civic action, a space for young people to transform into big citizens and practice daily democracy with peers in their elementary, middle school, and high school groups. As these big citizens work together with community members and with near-peer team leaders, they expand their networks and create value for not only themselves, but also the community at large. They see benefits that flow from trust, reciprocity, information, cooperation, and associate with positive social networks. It provides an asset-based, service-oriented culture that places youth at the center and promotes youth voice, leadership skills to support college and career readiness, including problem-solving, collaboration, communication, and critical thinking. The environment to tackle pressing civic challenges in their communities while interacting with positive role models and peers. In 2015 of January, Big Citizen Hub launched, with 75 middle school participants. In 2016, the program will go to 100 middle school youth and 75 high school youth. How absolutely amazing is that? Mario, good morning. How amazing is this organization and you working with it? Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's a beautiful morning here in California, and I just am so grateful for you to give us some time.
Listen, when I got the reference to give you a call and we had an opportunity to speak, you know, dealing with youth, and I'm a big proponent of if you get in with young folks and you start having the conversation with them early. A lot of times what social media and media in general portrays is not necessarily the truth about what's going on. You know, a lot of folks, especially the older, those of us who are older, you know, we get into this rut of, oh, well, it's the young people are not this and young people are not that. And that's so not the case. I mean, you have a handful of kids and young folks who are not necessarily on the right track, but you guys are definitely showing how this is the case. You know, you have kids who are doing and that have a voice. And that's so important. So I thank you so much for giving them that voice.
Oh, no, we're excited. You know, young people are this country's greatest asset, and they have been throughout time. And, you know, we are really just hoping to tap into that. You know, and I think, you know, our first group of young people this year really proved that in many ways. And, you know, we're excited to kind of keep the momentum and expand and grow.
And that's great. So now, before we get into Big Citizen, let's talk about Maria. How did you even... And this whole thing about being a legacy builder, and that's why I kind of toned this particular month to do that, talking about people understanding and recognizing their gifts and their talents. So how did you know, or how did you develop the passion knowing that you wanted to help young people? How did that come about?
You know, it's all happened by accident in some ways. You know, we are... So I grew up, born and raised on the east side of San Jose, and, you know, middle-class family, phenomenal, you know, working-class family. And, you know, just like a lot of families, you know, we struggled, the community struggled. And, you know, so I, you know, had, you know, aside from my, you know, my father, you know, I had some amazing role models like my brother. But there was, you know, like a lot of families, a lot of challenge, you know, in the mid-90s, early 90s, and, you know, for me, I think growing up on that side of town, there was a lot of static, a lot of commotion, a lot of things that made it hard to focus and concentrate. You know, my brother, who's a dear friend of mine, you know, one of my best friends now, he really kind of fell into a spiral in the neighborhood and you know, when we were younger. But he was such a captivating young fellow that, you know, all the teachers that he had when he was in high school loved him, but he just didn't exactly, you know, go on the path they all wanted for him. So when I came up in that high school, I had just a lot of people looking out for me because I was, you know, Richie's little brother. And so they really wanted to kind of take care of me and put a lot of resources into me. And, you know, one of my teachers nominated me, who is, you know, still one of the people I look up to the most. She nominated me to get into this program. It was a camp. It was a week-long camp. And what they did is they took a cross-section of the school and, you know, took us to the mountains and left us there for a week, put us on diverse teams and had us kind of go through and talk about diversity and race issues and things that are going on campus. And it was one of the most eye-opening weeks for me, in particular because I had this young man who was my camp counselor. And this guy, John Castillo, was just phenomenal. He looked like me. He was a brown young man from the east side. And he spoke differently, but he really was something that I thought I was like, I could do that, and I could be just like him. And I still remember him, and this was, again, you know, closer to 20 years ago. And, you know, I think I went on in my high school career. I graduated, and, you know, I took a couple years off to do some stuff. And when I was 20 years old, I was walking around downtown San Jose, and I was kind of a little scattered, and I was walking downtown because I was trying to get a transfer to a Starbucks down there, because I had just got an apartment, and I see these yellow jackets kind of buzzing around, and I was like, oh, I remember John Castillo, that dude who was my camp counselor. He used to work for them, and this organization was called City Year, and I remember how much that young person changed the perception of myself and who I could be. And I walked in to see if they had maybe a job, because I think I would like to do some stuff like he did. And just so happened to be looking for people. And, you know, a couple weeks later, I was serving on this extremely diverse team, you know, working on these Saturday leadership development programs for high school youth. And I was, you know, kind of jutted into this experience where, one, I was kind of a fish out of water because I didn't have the skill set to run the programs. But, you know, people gave me a platform and said, well, here's some of the skills. This is what we're doing. And it turned out I was really good at it. And especially because I was, you know, learning so much about myself and the people that were on my team with me. And, you know, that's how I ended up getting to Philadelphia. You know, 6 months later, they were like, Mario, would you like to take on this opportunity to expand this program out in Philly? And I couldn't say no. So I jumped on it and, you know, landed in Philadelphia for the very first time. Right in the middle of summer, so the humidity was crazy for me because I'm a California boy. But and that changed my that experience really changed my life, because once I got to Philadelphia, you know, it was experiencing a different city, experiencing different neighborhoods, and just like the energy. That's really where I think I found my heart in terms of understanding what it means to be involved in like social justice issues and you know, galvanizing groups of kids and really kind of working. You know, I saw the best and worst, you know, in the inner city. And I think that really is what made me a kind of a youth practitioner. So, yeah, I got into it in Philadelphia. We built some programs out there and really successful with City of Greater Philadelphia, which is a phenomenal organization. If anybody hasn't checked them out, please go check them out. And I got some random opportunity. And this is kind of all by random how I ended up out here. You know, it's taking these little tiny opportunities that people put in front of you and ended up introducing me to somebody who ultimately ended up opening up the City Year site and City Year location out here in Los Angeles. And she asked me to come out here to run these Saturday leadership development programs. And I couldn't refuse. I took the opportunity to come back to California and, you know, spent the last 8 years kind of developing my skills, developing my network and learning, because again, you know, learning is, you know, absorbing knowledge and putting it into action is kind of, you know, the name of the game here. And I worked in education for the last couple of years out here. And then the time came for me to do my own thing. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, how about, but that is awesome because, again, you know, noticing which way your brother went and the fact that that could have gone a different way for you as well, instead of people, you know, taking the time, because sometimes teachers and people who are involved, especially when they see multiple children come from the same, you know, same family, sometimes what happens is you see the one child and that child might have been a star, so then you expect the other one, or vice versa. That one might have been the so-called bad seed, so you expect the other one to be, you know, the bad seed. But that's how awesome and amazing and blessed is that even though your brother didn't necessarily take the path that everyone wanted him to take, people still found enough interest in both of you to kind of still keep encouraging you and say, hey, at least somebody's going to make it, and that's great. And even further to that you even decided to take that further, because you could have come out here to Philadelphia. Let's all face it, as wonderful and as great and fulfilling as it is being in education or, you know, being in social services, it's not a lot of money, you know what I mean? And it's not one of those jobs that you say, oh, I'm going to get into it because I'm going to make lots of money. No, it's not for, it can't be for the money. It really has to be for the fame, you know, the fame of it. And when I say by the fame of that you're going to make an impact on somebody. So for you to come all the way, you know, across the country, and it, God knows it's a long ride. But
it is.
And And to come into this humidity, because I almost forgot, you know, the week that I was in California and I came home, and today they're talking about 90 and put your air on, and I'm like, oh, my God, really? You know, I didn't have any bad hair to eat. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But to come here and to do what you've done and then go back home, that speaks to how committed you are and how passionate and focused. And I thank you for that. But, you know, the whole thing is, why didn't you stay? You know, why didn't you stay here and do all the things that you did instead of going home?
Yeah. You know, I really wanted to. And I had one of the most phenomenal mentors, Johnny Irizarry, who I know he works at Penn currently. But he was the executive director and CEO of the Lighthouse in Kensington. And I was, you know, basing my operations out of there. And I told him, I was like, I got this opportunity. I came up in L.A. And, you know, honestly, I tried to stay in Los Angeles or Philadelphia. I wasn't ready to leave yet. And you know, after he kind of helped me look around, see if there's something that, you know, could keep me out, you know, in that area and in the part of the city, there was, you know, still, you know, the things that I was being offered by the organization to come back out here to have my own program and start from scratch and build something new is at the last minute. It was a very last minute decision. I chose to take this route. And believe me, you know, since I'm from Northern California, people gave me a lot of flack for moving to Los Angeles. I think they gave me more flack for moving to LA than they did for me moving out to Philadelphia. Just because there's that Northern California, Southern California rivalry going on. But it ultimately became the right choice for me. Once I got here, again, when I came here, I was only 24 years old, and people were giving me this full program to build and run and do what you will, Mario. And that was invaluable. I could never get that experience anywhere else. Especially at the scale they wanted me to build stuff. And so, yeah, I missed Philadelphia. I told you I found my heart in Philadelphia, but, you know, with the opportunity out here, it was definitely the right place for me to be.
But now let's talk about the chance, the chance of a lifetime that they gave you. I mean, you could have said no, that, you know, because a lot of times when we get thrust into a position, especially where there's no parameters and there's not necessarily, like, they give you the skeleton and say, hey, run with it and do what you can, it can be kind of a daunting experience, and that's where we get into talking about building your legacy. How did you because you can either do one or two things. You can either step up to the plate and run with it or say, no, I can't do this. This is too much. You know, I can't do this. I don't know where to begin. You know, I'm a step back. I can't. So how did you push did you have that feeling like when it was presented to you? That, oh, my God, like, what, really, really? Like, what am I doing? Did you have that feeling?
Every time I feel like things have taken off for me, I've had that moment, that feeling of, like, I am just way in over my head. When I got to Philadelphia, you know, I have a couple mentors that ended up helping me get to Philadelphia, and they brought me out there to open up these programs in Philly because they didn't have them quite established yet. So when I got into Philly, I remember talking to parents on the phone for the first time of students that I was, you know, reaching out to, and I was like, I'm way in over my head on this thing. I've never done this before. I'm only 20 years old. I have no experience in this youth development stuff. And then, you know, but I had people that were like, Mario, look, you could do this. You know, you got it. I could see it in you. And then it became me trying to, you know, prove them right. And, you know, because I owed them something, because who gives a 20-year-old an opportunity like that? Who gives a 24-year-old an opportunity like that? You know, I'm still really young. And really, it's people believing in me is the reason that I've been able to kind of stomach that anxious butterfly feeling of putting myself on a limb, you know?
And that's courageous in itself. I mean, that's what that whole legacy is about, building that, standing on your own. You know, and the fact that someone saw it, and that's a testimony to you too. Someone saw your talent and someone saw your purpose and your drive to be able to do that. If you guys are just tuning in, welcome. We are talking to a fantastic legacy builder in Mario Fedlin from Big Citizen Hub right out in California. Welcome to Hannah Footprints. I am your host, Ms. Ricky R. Jones. Make sure that you guys call in 347-826-9723. Press the number 1, 347-826-9723. And we're also chatting both here on Blog Talk. So as you're talking, Mario, and I'm all over the place and doing different, I'm truly in it. But we have some really great folks that are texting us, and they are also sending us messages to talk about it. And that was one of the questions of, you know, how did you decide to, as it was presented to you, how did you decide to go ahead and, you know, do your own thing and just stand in the forefront of your, putting your fears aside? And that's great that you did, because like you said, and every time that you come across this, okay, I'm about to do this, you press on through. And that is so, because it's hard. It really is hard, no matter if you're 8 or 80, you know. And those are the kind of things that you want to be able to teach your young folks, that when they are presented with something that is different to them or something unique to them, that they're able to press through. Oh, and we have a call. Mario, are you ready?
Sure. Yeah, I'm ready.
Good morning. Welcome to Hannah Footprints. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm great. And you?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for calling in. Welcome.
Okay, so I don't have a question. I have a comment. I was approached by my daughter, who is actually a big citizen, has a right now. So she's part of Mario's crew. So I was approached by my daughter last year, and she told me, Mom, some people came to the school, and they want to go ahead and talk to us about civic rights and just how we can go ahead and make a difference, and I want to go ahead and be part of it, but I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and qualify. Can you look into it? And I was like, okay. So I'm trying to go ahead and work and take care of everything, and next thing you know, I get a call from Mario. And he tells me, well, this is the program. This is what we're doing. If you want to go ahead and sit down, I will definitely go ahead and come to you. So that's how my daughter got started. So she got thrust into this amazing program. She has gone or tried to go every single Saturday. Her name is Samantha, by the way. And I can honestly say that the legacy builder part of it, I currently work for a nonprofit, and I have worked with John Mack. I have worked with Sammy Portier, Jim Castillo. Those are all legacy builders, and I think that Mario definitely falls in that category. He has hit the ground running. He has hit the pavement day in and day out. He has collected paperwork. He has mentored these kids. He has shown them a different side of what it is to be a kid with a voice, with so many opportunities, and for them not to take it, it's just truly not something that he wants to take. He doesn't take no for an answer, and I got to commend him for that. I got to go ahead and definitely tell him thank you. I'm one of the parents that is sincerely grateful for the fact that you have taken all of these kids under your wing and just ran with it. Like she said, I mean, you have to go ahead and literally see that you are making a change into these kids' life, and I couldn't be happier. So thank you for that. It's been an amazing ride, not just for my daughter, but for us. And I keep asking you, so how does she get involved next year? So how does she become a mentor? How does she become part of all of this? So I'll keep bugging you, and definitely whatever you need, I'm one of the parents that will be more than glad to help out in whatever it is that you are going to venture into next.
Ms. Gonza, that means so much to me. And, you know, we're building a program for her right now, so don't worry. She has a place to go. I know she's a rising freshman, and she has a community with us. So we won't leave her alone.
Okay, so now it's official. It's on radio, so.
It's happening. I said it, so now I got to do
it.
It's
happening.
Oh,
Mom, that's what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to be that advocate, and now it's on air, and we've all heard it. So tell her,
right?
Get ready.
I can't get out of it. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, have a wonderful.
And thank you for calling in. But Mario, I mean, how? I know it sounds like, you know, really geeky, but really, how awesome is that? Because again, the narrative that's played out for a lot of our youth is just that they're not able to do, they can't do, they don't have a voice. It's so many negatives. And what you and Big Citizen Hub bring are the positives. And I find it absolutely amazing, and I'm glad that you guys are doing it. So now, take us through. Now, you have a parent who just called in, and they're very happy. So we have other parents who are listening and who are kind of curious, and they want to know, like, all right, so what do I do? Where can I go?
Yeah.
How can I? Take us through the process.
The process of getting your student involved in the program or what we're actually doing?
Everything. Just everything.
Well,
the process of getting it from beginning to end.
So let me first kind of like back up a little bit and talk to you about what we're doing, because I think it context helps a little bit. You know, we are, you know, imagine, you know, as a culture, you know, we invest a lot of time in our young people, right? Our sons and daughters, we put them in little leagues. You know, sports stars didn't start, you know, they didn't pick up a basketball or a baseball or a tennis racket in college. You know, they've been playing for years, right? You start on a court when you're in elementary school. You start your gymnastics when you're, you know, 5 years old, and you ultimately get this kind of training and experience for years and years and years. And, you know, eventually when you become that adult, you get that professional athlete, you play in high school, you play collegiate level, and it becomes a part of you, and all these experiences all lead up into what's next for you. So imagine if we did that with leadership development and civics, right? If we're cultivating young people as early as 8 years old, and putting them on diverse teams and giving them this hands-on experience, this immersive experience of better understanding the world around them. Because, look, what we're doing at Big Citizen Hub isn't that special in some ways, right? Because a lot of people are doing it across the country. The one thing I think that sets us different and more difficult is that we are bringing kids, young people, middle school youth from all across walks of life. We're not a program for just kids, young people in poverty, right? We're a program just for young people, which means that we want those high achievers. You know, Ms. Carranza's daughter is a fantastic, you know, academic, you know, she's amazing in a lot of different assets. She's not the person that's probably going to fall off, but that's okay because she has these assets and these abilities to contribute to a team. For those other students that may be struggling academically, then there's, you know, so what we're trying to do is really give people a space to meet each other, right? So I have students from the west side of L.A., from Van Nuys, from South Central, Watts, Boyle Heights. They're from 31 different zip codes across the city, and we come together 22 weekends out of the year. And it's about making connection, because when I was 20 years old, I got put on this team with a white woman from Indiana, a black woman from Atlanta, a white male from Southern California, and I was the brown kid from the east side of San Jose. And that experience in itself had me facing some of my own bias, facing some of my own self-esteem issues, my consciousness around who I am and all the things around me. And that was life-changing for me, and that was when I was 20. Imagine if we could do that with young people as early as 8 years old, and an 8-year-old who doesn't have all the bias that we do when we're adults. You know, they're able to kind of work with someone from other side of town with different experiences, maybe different amounts of money. You know, they're now learning to cooperate and have collective impact together. So that's really what we're building here is a pipeline for people to convene. Imagine if, you know, our congressmen and our leaders and all of our people had these really diverse experiences when thinking about compromise and all these skills building opportunities when they're as early in their elementary school year. So that's what we're building. And that's why it's so important for us that diversity across the board is the most important thing at Big Citizen Hub. These people are assets, right? These young people aren't deficient no matter where they come from. They're the greatest asset. We're going to put them to work and put them together. And we're still small. You know, we're only in Los Angeles. And I think this program, you know, is universal, and we need to be all over this country in urban centers across the country.
Well, definitely. I mean, because, and like you said, you want to get the kids to exposure. I think why we have, you know, people talk about the racial divisions and things of that nature, but really all of it comes from the lack of communication. This is my opinion. I really believe, besides history, really a lot of what divides us is because of the lack of communication, people not understanding, you know, my culture, your culture, the fact that even though we have different skin tones and different hues, we really all like the same things. You know, we really are still, for the most part, into the same thing. You know, we have families, we have outings and everything else. And if people would communicate, you know what I mean? I think that would help a lot.
I make the joke that we had this year on our teams, we had these two young people that are, one's from South L.A., and one was from the West Side, and they get together, and both of them are equally as upset that Zayn left One Direction, you know. And that's just funny. It's just funny to me because, you know, there's like, we realize we take apart all the stuff that we put on, on race and socioeconomics and all that stuff. You know, when you're young, some of that stuff doesn't always matter. And you really start to, when you have a conversation with somebody, you communicate, that's when stuff starts to break down and you realize that we like the same things. We might just go and have a different approach. And that, I think that would change the world.
And I agree with you. I truly agree with you. So now you have these young folks. And why is it that you – I know you said it a little bit earlier, but for those who are kind of joining in a little bit later, why is it that you decide at third grade? Why not – why so young? You know, why at third grade? Why not the fourth graders and fifth grade? But why at third grade do you decide to go in and start having the conversation?
Well, you know, look, we haven't gotten that far yet. But my vision for this thing is is when you hit that third grade, it's a kind of a threshold year. You know, you have early education happens, you know, pre-K and all the way up until second grade, and then you kind of go into this other space when you're in third grade. So it is one of those years where, you know, we've chosen it through 3 through 5. But again, once we build the actual program and we bring those elementary school students in, and that's going to happen for us in year 4, is that we are, you know, we're going to learn, and maybe that means that we have to have an even younger group where we do, you know, more, K through two, and we have them put them on teams. But I think, you know, once you hit third grade, you hit that 8 years old, that 7, 8 years old, I feel like it's still it's old enough for parents to trust that I'm going to take my student to this, or my child to this camp or this day, kind of experience. And, you know, so I don't know. I'm not as experienced with elementary school, but I know that it's important. And so that's why that's future Mario's problem. Once we get to there, we're going to figure out bring all the people that are great at that age group, and we're going to build something completely new that I don't think anybody's seen before.
And I definitely agree with you on that. So those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to Hannah Footprints. I'm your host, Ricky Jones. Call in 347-826-9723. We are talking to Mario Fedlin from Big Citizen Hub, absolutely phenomenal organization out in California, talking about being a legacy builder, talking about helping our young folks kind of see the big picture in everything that they do. And with them seeing the big picture also helps us. So if you want to join in the conversation, make sure that you press the number 1. If you want to chat with us, we are chatting live now. Actually, we're getting a lot of feed in the chat room, so that's great. One of our chatters asked so I'm not in California. I'm just reading it as it is. I'm not in California, but I want to encourage my kids to kind of be, you know, citizens. How do I go about, you know, having the conversation with them, becoming a better citizen, being involved in community? Because I want my children to be involved in the community. What should I do? That's one of our chatters in the chat room. That's the question for you, Mario.
That's a fantastic question. You know, for us, and I'll give this example. You know, for us at Big Citizen Hub, and I think as me as a youth worker, I always felt that it is just hands-on experience, right? You know, for us, and I'll get back to the question in a minute, but for us it's about, you know, young people are assets and they're not vessels to be filled, but vessels for interaction, right? They should be interacting and asking questions. That's why, you know, curiosity is a part of our values. And so that interaction allows them to build their own point of view and understanding and experience, right? So as an organization, we're really trying hard And again, we're still learning, but we're trying really hard not to put our own bias into kind of the experiences. You know, when we talk about homelessness here in Los Angeles, we're not saying, here's our opinion, you should go explore it. We're saying, here is some definition, and let's put you in an actual experience where you get to ask people the questions that you have that you're interested in, right? And so when I think about families and people that are interested in citizenship and civic engagement and being part of a community, it is about how do we set our young people up to experience different things. And for us, sometimes as adults, it's us trying to better understand what we don't know, right? What's in my community? What's around? Maybe I decide to go volunteer with my, you know, at my church, and maybe I bring my my children with me, or maybe actually I reach out to an agency that I have never met before, but it sounds like something that my son or daughter had mentioned before in passing, and maybe we'll go and we'll, you know, sort donations at a teen center, you know. So I think it really is, how do we actually as adults, you know, really look at and hear what young people are saying and then respond, not react, but respond to their needs and what they're interested in. And then we, you know, because that's really civic action. It sounds, when you read our website, it sounds like we're doing all this really cool stuff, which I think is cool, but it is such a simple concept of, like, you know, civic engagement means to interact with people and different things around you to create a point of view. And I think that's how we, you know, we change the space for our children. That's opinion.
Now we have another question. We have a question from another one of our chatters who is in the industry. Kind of, they have different programs themselves, and they're asking how, if they were a company, or if they were an organization or a business that wanted to become involved, because, you know, a lot of corporations are looking for a good company to get involved with, or a good organization to get involved with, to kind of help with initiatives. So if a company or an organization in the area was interested in becoming involved with Big Citizen Hub, how would they go about doing that? Who would they contact? And Do you have partnerships?
Yes. So they can contact me, and again, we make sure that we post my information on the site here. But from the beginning, you know, and we haven't really talked about the actual startup for this thing yet, but from the beginning, I told, you know, all the people that were involved that if there's anyone who wants to be a part of this thing, let's just sit down and talk about what they want to do, right? Let's put them to work. And that I kind of take that same approach with, you know, the foundations and corporations and other companies that get involved. It's, you know, I don't want, what I'm striving for is not necessarily like checkbook philanthropy. Like, I'm just going to take your check. I mean, granted, if that's all you want to do, that I'll take it. But I'm really more interested in saying, like, how do we get more involved and become stewards, right? You know, how do we actually put your brand to work in the way that makes sense for your company to better understand what you're doing? You know, Aramark is a fantastic, you know, corporate partner of ours here in LA, and they uniform all of our students. And, you know, that really comes, you know, we're trying to get their employees involved and, you know, do service projects. And so if anybody's interested, you please reach out. I'd love to meet with you and hear about what you are looking to do with your company, and I would like to, you know, help you do it.
And definitely we're going to put it, Mario, we're going to put Mario's page on Hannah Footprint's page, and we'll make sure that you guys have the link to be able to reach out to him if you are interested. So for the chatter in our network who asked about that, definitely make sure that you check out the link so that you can reach out. So now let's talk about exactly, because I saw on your Google Plus page that you guys have, you know, you're kicking off something major in August, I do believe. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are you guys planning now? Because I'm assuming that everything is underway and the program is running, and you have your young folks doing their thing. So what is this? What's happening? What are you guys working on?
So we are actually rounding the end of our first year, which means that we are about to graduate all of our young people. So let me briefly kind of, it's our first year under the, we're done. And it was a heck of a year. So we've built this year, the way that it's structured, so you have a good sense of the program, is we start in January and we go through July. And we have this arc based off the hero's journey, which Campbell wrote about. It's, you know, this first call to action. So the first 4 weeks of our program, we get all these diverse young people and we put them on diverse teams with near peer, you know, mentors. And we kind of create a civic language together. How do we talk? What do we, you know, do we operate in circles? We hands up. We talk about gratitude, curiosity, adventure, and team, and what these mean to us. So its first 4 weeks is all kind of language building and collective impact, right? We painted 6 murals in a high school gym this year as for our first project, and it was really phenomenal. You can see pictures on our website. But then we kind of hit this next stride, which is the next 9 weeks, and we put them in these learning modules talking about race, homelessness, and food injustice. Those were our 3 themes. And every theme we spend 3 weeks on, the first one exploring, right? Like I said, with homelessness, it was, well, let's bring in the first day is define, like, what's transitional housing, what's emergency shelter, what is, what's gentrification. There's all these things that kind of happened that kind of popped up. And then we send them out to agencies. So we went to an agency in Koreatown in Los Angeles, and we went to an agency in Skid Row, and we went to agencies in Boyle Heights. And the young people have an opportunity to meet people doing this actual work and ask the questions that they're interested in. And that's another 8-hour day. And then day 3 is when they come in and they do the service project, right? So they come in, we talk about what happened last week, and then we send them all back out to these agencies. And this year for our homelessness projects, we worked with the Downtown Women's Center. It's fantastic, and they created emergency grab-and-go bags for homeless women. They sorted donations in their thrift shop. They created gardens at Boyle Heights with an emergency shelter, and they made blankets for homeless teens in Hollywood. So it was just really fantastic. That all happened in 1 8-hour day. And the third day, it's all reflection. Okay, so what, now what? What did we do, and how do we move forward from here? And that's a day of reflection. It takes about 8 hours. And so that's kind of how we build our learning. We do that for 9 weeks on these 3 themes. And then we turn the page and we're saying, all right, we queue up all of our students and say, these are the 7 or 8 agencies that were willing to host a group of middle school students. As a team, choose an agency and choose a project that you want to run for them. And so all of our teams kind of created, decided on what agency they want to work with, and then they spend 6 weeks designing these projects. And on June 27th, this past month, we worked with 5 agencies across the city. We collectively brought in 120 volunteers, and all of our middle school students led about 17 projects within homelessness and food injustice and food access. And so that was a really amazing day. That was a really culminating project for them, kind of putting all of their new knowledge to work. And now all of our middle school students are at the end of the program. They had to serve a minimum of 100 hours of community service. Our 2 of our students who've come to everything, they're at 178 hours of community service. And so we'll honor them next week at a graduation ceremony.
Oh, that's fantastic. We have a caller, Mario. Are you ready?
Oh, please.
Good morning. Welcome to Hand and Footprints. How are you? Good morning. 818-416, are you ready to talk to us? Okay, maybe.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for calling in.
And how are you this morning, Mario?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Very good. I actually am involved in the Big Citizen Hub here in LA, and have been working with Mario for quite a while. And wanted to comment on something more than ask a question, on something that Mario was talking about earlier about leaving a legacy and individuals who had helped him and given him opportunity or helped him to take advantage of opportunity and so that he can, in fact, leave a legacy. Because while he's also helping these students and young people to learn how they can impact the community, he is building these leaders so that they can, in fact, begin to also leave a legacy by building other leaders. I've been working with Mario for many, many years on different projects, and I'm very, very thrilled to be involved in the Big Citizen Hub. And it's an amazing organization that is breeding leaders, speakers and community involvement and individuals who know their impact. You know, it's an impressive organization, and Mario is a pretty impressive person to be leading them.
Aileen is being really modest in our startup. You know, Aileen is one of our founders. And, you know, she's really kind of put us out there and you know, brought us to this next stage. So, Aileen, as an advisory board member, thank you for all that you do for us and for our group of young people.
It is an absolute pleasure and an honor.
Thank you, Aileen.
Thank you.
So, Maria, you are officially a legacy builder. How awesome is that?
Well, you know, I haven't quite swallowed that pill yet. We'll see. We'll see how this all turns out.
For those of people who are out here and they're listening and they want to make a move to try to do something, like you said, to make a difference, what do you suggest to them? Being a person who's gone ahead and stepped out on faith and been blessed with opportunities and have made something of those opportunities, you have someone who's young like you or even someone who's a little bit older and they're like, okay, I want to make a difference, I want to make a change. What do you suggest to them?
You know, I tell my students this, we tell our big citizens this is, you know, a big citizen always takes action and never goes at it alone. And that's really my rally cry. And this is some of the early kind of advice I got from people who've done this, you know, our founders of City Year and other people that are these fantastic community leaders that have been doing this for 20 plus years. When I sat down with them and say, like, I want to do this, I'm going to take this leap, they're like, first off, you got to find somebody to do it with. You know, build yourself a team, find a partner. And it was right, you know, they're right on. The first thing I did was I built a team and I got a bunch of believers involved, you know, to help me walk through and kind of cultivate my idea and refine it. And that was good for an extent. You know, came March, when it came to March of last year, before I already quit my job and I had, I knew I was going to leave my job in June. I didn't save as much money as I would have liked to personally because I was about to go without a salary. I hadn't written my financial plan yet, which I just didn't really know how to. And I was behind. Plus I was working a full-time, you know, 50, 60 hour a work week job in education. And I really thought that it wasn't going to happen. And then I got spammed by an old friend, LinkedIn. And this is an old friend that I worked with on youth programs when I was at City Year, when I was in Philly. She was working in Chicago at City Year, and we were building these Saturday programs. I got spammed by her LinkedIn, and I was like, yo, I got to, you know, I shot her an email really fast. I was like, let's get together. I'll tell you about this idea that I'm working on. And I wanted to catch up because it's been a couple of years since we spoke. And so we sat down in the first 5 minutes because she was looking to transition in her work. And I was like, let's do this. How about you come work for the small nonprofit? And so she took about a week to look at, make sure I wasn't lying about stuff. And then she called me up and was like, Mario, let's do this. We'll go until October. No salary. We'll figure this whole thing out. And once Beth Bayou, who's my director of strategy and development, once she signed on and took that leap with me, everything accelerated so quickly. You know, we got the fiscal sponsorship through our community partners out here, which was allowed us to use our tax-exempt ID. You know, we were able to put together our financials, and we were able to get our first couple $100,000 in the bank. And, you know, it was really having someone do it with you is what moved us forward. So if you're doing this, find a team, get a partner.
All right, you guys heard that. Find a team, get a partner. So now where do you see Big Citizen Hub in the next, let's just even take the next year and a half, where do you want to take it?
The next year and a half, we will have 175 middle school youth and high school youth in the program. So we're expanding. In a year and a half, if we're going into year three, I would have now graduated about over 200 people from the program, and we will be getting ready to expand both programs. So by year three, we hope to have 125 middle school youth, 100 high school youth, and then in year four, we're going to have 150 middle school youth, 125 high school youth, and we're going to start with 50 elementary school youth in a program. And by year five, we hope to have about 437 young people on service with Big Citizen Hub.
And I see it happening. I believe it's going to happen. I see it happening. And that's great that you have this plan. And I'm glad, I'm so glad, Mario, that you decided to come on and really talk about, because really Big Citizen Hub and what you're doing and what your whole team is doing is absolutely amazing. It really is fantastic. We need We need a lot of Big Citizen Hubs throughout the country. Really, we really do, and I'm so glad that you're doing it with the young folks. And so now you said you have a class that's graduating next week. You're going to do the ceremony. So what's the ceremony going to look like?
You know, try to keep it short. We're going to do, you know, one, we're going to recount the year, so we'll have a nice little fun slideshow for them. We're going to go over all their impact, because I think putting a mirror in front of them and saying, like, this is what you did, I think is important, because they did so much. I mean, we have, I guess, 75 middle school youth. We retained 94% of them, which means that we have about 72 students that stuck through the program for all 22 weeks, and collectively have served over 10,000 hours of service towards Los Angeles, both in education and physical service, which means, you know, that, you know, if there were one person working 24 hours a day, they would work about a year and a half. But if they're a regular 8-hour a day employee, they would work something like 5 or 6 years on the type of stuff that we just did this one small portion of the year. So I think they need to see what they've done. I feel like they need to have a space to reflect as a group, as a community, and think about what's next for them. And so we'll honor them by giving out some special awards for students that are, you know, who are kind of doing some voting within the community on, you know, who gets the awards for what. And then we will give them some diplomas and their Presidential Volunteer Service Awards, and that'll be that, you know. It's a simple ceremony to shine a light on their work.
And that's great. And hopefully what I would like, and I'd like to extend the invitation, next year I would love for you to come back on and tell us how year two went with Big Citizen Hub. I really would love to have you guys back on, you and the rest of your crew. If you want to bring the entire team, that's great. I would love to have you guys so that we can talk about year two and see all more things that you have accomplished, and it's absolutely great. So now tell us, Mario, and don't forget that we're also going to put this on the Hannah Footprints page in different social media. We're going to share all the links. So if you missed it, or if you have questions, or if you want to become involved, if you're in the area, and if you have some questions of Mario that you want to pick his brain about, or, you know, just whatever, send some encouraging messages, definitely go to the Hannah Footprints page so that you can follow the link, and definitely follow Big Citizen Hub. They're also on Facebook. So, Mario, tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can get a hold of Big Citizen Hub.
Yes, please. More information at www.thebigcitizenhub.org. O-R-G. Shoot me an email. My email address is there with a link. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Big Citizen Hub. Facebook, you know, The Big Citizen Hub at Facebook. You know, those are the best places. We're constantly on. We have our young people tweeting, so you can really kind of keep up with what's happening in our day-to-day. And, you know, I will give anybody time, and I've hopefully honored that through this startup. Is I said that I would sit down with anybody who's interested in being involved, and anybody who wants to get involved or wants to do something in L.A. or, you know, wants to take a phone call because you're out in Philadelphia, you know, I will take the call. And you know, we're a small community, and we need to make sure that, you know, it doesn't matter that we're 3,000 miles apart or, you know, 2 miles apart. You know, I think we all got to support each other, especially if we really want to change the world.
All right, you guys heard that. Now, Mario, we're going to be closing out, and we're talking about this whole legacy building. If there's one statement that you can make about legacy building, being a legacy builder yourself, what would it be, and how would you encourage people, young folks and older, everyone, anyone, how would you encourage them?
You know, it is about, you know, my legacy. You know, if I think about my legacy is not the work, the physical work, I think, that I've done. My work, my legacy, hopefully will be in the way that people feel after they've worked with me. And I think when we look at social impact and change, we really need to start thinking about what can I do with others? It's not always for others, but it's with others. And how can I put aside some of my ego and open my heart and open my doors to do work together? Everything that's been built in my life has been built on family, on community, on new people that I've met. My success is, based on, shoulders of giants and people that have done the work before me. And I'm just a kid from the East Side trying to figure out how to do what's right.
And I'm glad you're figuring out what to do right, and I'm glad that you're sharing. I thank you so much for being on with me today. I thank you for what you and Big Citizen Hub are doing. I wish you guys, you're going to be successful, because I don't even need to wish that, because you've already laid the groundwork. You know what I mean? You've already laid the groundwork, and anything positive in this life is always going to be successful. Even though, what we see out in the world, what the world tries to tell us that, it's more negative than there is positive, that is so not true. So you keep doing what you're doing. And those of you who are listening and those of you who want to be a part of this organization, please, by all means, go on the link, follow, get involved. I always tell people on the show, Mario, at the end of it all, if it's not like breathing, don't do it. If you're in this world and you want to make a difference, it's not that hard. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be super duper, famous, like a movie star or anything. It's the little things that you can do. And if you see talent, like someone saw talent in you and they've allowed you to kind of grow and foster and just be this person that you are, and then you're turning around and doing the same thing to others, that's really what it's all about. If you guys are out there and you want to make a difference, you want to be a legacy builder, you want to make an impression, and not for the glory and the fame and the fashion and, to have your name in lights. If you truly, honestly want to make a difference, it's something as simple as just like Mario's doing. Just get out there and do it. Take that leap of faith. Sure, it's going to be rough in the beginning, and, of course, it's going to be uncertain, but look at Big Citizen Hub, almost a year down, right? And you're getting ready to graduate your first group, and you have parents calling in, you have support staff, and just everyone is around you, and they're all about the same mission. And I thank you so much for sharing that mission today. I thank you for doing what you do, Mario. Thank you for coming on with me. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so grateful for the opportunity, Ricky, and you're doing some amazing work here, and thanks for telling my story or helping us tell our story.
No problem. No problem at all. Like I said, hope to see you in a year so we can finish telling the story. Guys, if you are out there and you know anyone who is interested in Big Citizen Hub, like I said, make sure that you follow the link on Hannah Footprints, and he's going to post that on, and you're welcome to post right onto the website, so that's fine. You can just post right on it. It's not a problem.
Great.
If you have any questions for me, if you have any comments, or anything that you guys have missed, you can always email me. If you know any other legacy builders or any other folks, I call everybody folks of greatness, who you think would need to have their story told right here on Hannah Footprints, you can email me, themsrrikkijones@gmail.com. You can follow me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all the different social medias. I'm right here under Ricky Jones or Hand and Footprint. Thank you, Mario, again. Thank you, guys. You could have been anywhere for listening, anywhere for listening to anyone doing anything on a Saturday, but you chose to be here, and I truly appreciate it. We will be back on our regular schedule. Wednesday night we have the 15-Minute Conundrum right here on Blog Talk Radio at 8:30 Eastern Daylight Time. And we'll be back on with another legacy builder who's a movie and TV producer, so we're excited about that. So make sure you tune in. Thank you, Mario. Thank you guys for being on with us. Have a fantastic Saturday afternoon. Enjoy, enjoy. Mario, have a great day. Enjoy your day. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Ricky. Bye-bye.
Thanks.